Amen. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Proverbs chapter 4, we want to continue looking at God's word in the area of healing. God's word in the area of healing. And as we look into God's word along this line, I want you to understand that many things that we need to repeat, because the word of God is the same really. And there's no new revelation, but there are fresh understanding of the revelation of God's word. And we repeat God's word because it's an instruction in the scriptures that the repetition of the truth of God's word fosters understanding in the hearts of men. Before you go to Proverbs chapter 4, look at Philippians and chapter 3. I want you to notice the instruction that Paul wrote to the church at Philippi. He says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe." Now, many times in the epistles, when the Bible uses the word rejoicing, it's not always talking about you shouting with joy. No, it's talking about rejoicing there as something to celebrate, something to acknowledge. It says, "For me to write the same things to you, to me indeed it's not grievous, but for you it is safe." So, consistent teaching of the truth is for our safety. It's our safe harbor. All right? It's a place of edification. Now, in 2 Peter, also, the Apostle Peter, by the Spirit of God, in chapter 2, 2 Peter and chapter 2 also, we have an instruction by that beloved apostle concerning chapter 3, rather. I read from verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. "This second epistle, beloved, and I write unto you in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." Can you see that? I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. So there are aspects that we'll repeat because that's how we foster understanding. Repetition fosters understanding. And it's so important. So Proverbs chapter 4 now. Now, interesting thing about looking at the book of Proverbs as a text is that we need to understand that Proverbs was written by Solomon, who describes himself as a preacher. So the reason why Solomon was mentioned in the scriptures is not primarily because he was a king. The book of Proverbs, the book of Ecclesiastes were recorded because Solomon called himself a preacher. And that's important. Now, he's a preacher in the sense that he was a student of David, and David was a student of the prophet. So you can say Solomon was a student of the prophets. Amen. So the things that Solomon wrote, the wisdom that was given unto him was, he made the law of Moses into wise sayings. When you're reading Proverbs, you're reading the law of Moses in parable form, in wise sayings. So when you are reading it and you decode it, you see that what he has simply done, he has taken the truth of God's word, which is eternal, and he has presented it in a format that's called wisdom. So Proverbs chapter 4, if I read from verse 20, it says, "My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." Now, in the Old Testament in particular, the healing of the body was used as a figure of speech for salvation. Let me say that again. The healing of the body was used as a figure of speech for salvation in the Old Testament. And when Jesus came upon the earth, particularly Matthew 8, we saw the same illustration. Go with me to Matthew 8. I'm going to come back to Proverbs chapter 4. Matthew 8 and verse 16. "When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirit with his word, and healed all," notice, "he healed all that were sick." Now look at verse 17. "That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare what? Our sicknesses." Now, pay attention. When that scripture was quoted in Matthew 8, Jesus was yet to fulfill the scripture. Jesus bare our infirmities, took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses when he rose from the dead in his resurrection. But notice, in healing the sick, he was fulfilling God's word with respect to the promise of salvation. What's that promise? He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. So let me say it again. Sickness and disease is likened to man in his lost state. Man has lost it. So God's salvation will provide healing, physical healing, because God's salvation will actually provide spiritual healing. But how do you communicate that to those who are spiritually dead, who are in the senses? The best way to communicate it is to heal them physically, to point their attention to what you will do in their life spiritually. So Jesus went about healing. He cast out the spirit with his word, that it might be fulfilled. Now, that doesn't mean it was fulfilled at the time it happened. When was it fulfilled? When it rose from the dead. Now, in case you still think that, look at Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53, let's look at from verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. Notice, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Let me paraphrase that into this language. What it cost to guarantee our peace was upon him. That is the punishment and the suffering it would take to guarantee our peace was upon him, and with the stripes. Stripes is a description of that which was done to him, the suffering he went through. We are released from judgment. Say amen. And let's read further. Look at verse 6. Just go with me. I love Isaiah 53. He says, all we like sheep have gone astray. So he's no longer listening carefully. He's no longer focusing on bodily healing. You see what he's saying? We went astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So the healing is actually for iniquity. Does he apply to the flesh? Yes. But what's he really talking about? He talks about the spirit of man, where there's iniquity. Now look at the next verse. He says, he was oppressed and was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before a shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Verse 8, he was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. Not for the sickness of my people, the transgression. He was stricken because of what? Transgression. Now, verse 9. He made his grief with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he has done no violence and there was any deceit in his mouth. Yet he pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, not for sickness. His soul was made an offering for sin. So it became the ransom, the payment for sin. He shall see his seed or the product of his suffering. Say, I'm his seed. Say, I'm his seed upon the earth. Now, Isaiah is writing thousands of years before the prophets came to pass, thousands of years before Jesus came, thousands of years before God showed up to fulfill his own word. So if anything at all that you get from this scripture, it should be a full persuasion about the integrity of God's word. You know what it means to speak ahead of time and to be so exact in detail in fulfilling everything you have ever said. What is God trying to communicate? The integrity. God's word can't be broken. He holds together. He himself is the integrity of his word. You know, we used to sing a song years back. It says, he has promised he will never fail. I will follow him. I will follow him. You know that song? He has promised we never fail. His faithfulness is what? Forevermore. His faithfulness is forevermore. So he spoke thousands of years. He became the fulfillment of his own word. He carried out step by step. You know, you need to understand that even in detail, to the time he was captured, to the time he was flogged, to the time he carried the cross, to the time he died, the details were spelled out in the writing of the prophets. So that's how detailed God is when it comes to fulfilling his word. Now, that is the word, listen carefully, that Solomon is telling you, my son, attend to my words. You need to understand the context, because when you're reading Proverbs, sometimes when you read, it's divorced from other writings of the prophets. No. When you're reading Proverbs, Solomon is interpreting the law of Moses. In the law of Moses, it is written that there's a lamb that will come and take away the sins of the whole world. Isaiah therefore now says, when he comes as a lamb that is led to the slaughter, he opened not his mouth. For the transgression of our sins, that's why he was handed over to judgment. So we're seeing God's word fulfilled. So when Solomon says, my son, attend to my words, you can say, attend to my promises. What I've said, that which cannot fail, that which is incapable of not coming to pass, attend to it. So it is integrity itself. But for it to be integrity in your own life, you have to attend to it. So it's not producing results in your life. It's not a function of God not being faithful. It's a function of you not attending to the word. Hallelujah. How many of you have trusted God for healing and you were healed before? Let me see that. You were healed before. Now, you know, it's like Satan to convince you that it was a coincidence. But if you were really sick, you know, there was nothing coincidental. I'm not talking about you had a headache in the morning, you went in the evening. I'm talking about you were sick, in capital letters. And you trusted God and you were healed. You know that God saved you. You know, some years back, I was on campus and I was ill. And I took some medication that had contraindications. I didn't know. It became worse. I almost died. And it happened at a time on campus when other students were not on my floor. Most had gone home. My roommate had gone home. I was still hanging around on campus. So there was nobody I could even call around. And I was on the top floor. In the middle of the night, I couldn't sleep. I was vomiting. I was stooling at the same time. And doctors usually tell you, once those two things happen, for every time it happens, you lose strength. So I was getting weak. And there was nobody to call. The only thing I could say was, I put God's word in my mouth. I didn't know anything else to do. By the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. The power of God heals me. I'm made whole. It got to a point when I was crawling. I couldn't stand up. And I was saying the same thing. So this little strength that was left, instead of, why is this happening? Why is it complaining? No, you used words to take hold of the power of God. You can also use words to distance yourself from the power of God. Because the principle is this: my son, attend to my wants. Incline your ear to what I've said. That which is settled is finished, is done. Incline your ear to hear it. It says, let them not depart from your eyes, then keep them where? In the midst of your heart. Remember, they are life unto those that find them. It is life. It is spirit life. It will not become manifest in the flesh. It is medicine to all of your flesh. If it's potent enough to save you, it is potent enough to medicinally cure you or medically cure you. So I was just speaking it now. Remember, what am I saying? I'm saying what God has said. I'm saying the same thing in agreement to God. Why didn't I have results immediately? Well, I don't know. Because you can be confessing out of emergency. I began to speak. Now, the more I spoke, it seemed as though the weaker I got, but I stayed with it. Why? I didn't have anything else to do except to confess God's word. So as I was crawling, I was confessing God's word. And I think I lay down my bed, completely weak. Close the door, and on my inside, after you jam the door, you can still use a nail on the inside to hook the door so that nobody can open from the outside except from the inside. So I slept, and my mattress was on the floor. My back was turned towards the door. And then I experienced a trance. In a trance, it was experiences in spiritual visions that first taught me before I read from seasoned ministers that when you are in the spirit, you can see in all directions at once. Amen. If you are in the spirit, for instance, you can see what is behind you. It's not as though your spirit man has to turn back like this. It's your body that needs to do that to see what's behind you. In the spirit, you can see what is there. Your eyes are closed and you are seeing. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. Good. So I learned from practical experience. So I was lying on the floor. My back was towards the door. And it's as though somebody came in through the door. I saw the person that came in, you know, wearing a white robe, sat down on the chair, observing me. My back was physically turned, but I could see him as well. I was facing him. And then he came towards the bed, knelt down, and placed his hand on my tummy. I wanted to move to respond. I couldn't move. I was immobilized. So I knew it was a trance. In a trance, your physical senses are suspended. You are thinking it, but you can't move. So after the person left, my body was able to move. The first thing I did, we are curious. I looked at the door. It was still shut on the inside. So whoever came in, didn't come in naturally. That's the first thing I registered. I was still wondering, this experience, what happened? It was after a few minutes I discovered that I was well. I was well. Hallelujah. He cannot deny himself. He's faithful. He's faithful. And that's why in the practice of God's word, my son, attend to my words. He has just told you, they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. I don't know whether you have interactions with God's word deliberately. Yes, you trust God for healing. The pain is still there. The discomfort is still there. Have you ever sat down? You prayed. You confessed. All those things are good. But meditatively, and you're telling yourself, this is the power of God. It is here. It's available. It is with me. It's not far from me. Because the Bible says the word is near thee, in thy heart and in thy mouth. So the power of God is also near me. Because if his word is near, then his power is near. And that power, because God will never deny me of what the word can do. He will never hold back for me what the power can do. The scriptures say, the Lord God is a sun and shield. He will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from that. So what are you doing? You are meditatively interacting with the word now. The aim is to have a full persuasion in your mind. I don't know about you. When challenges arise, the way I speak when it comes to the word is that if there's someone that can do this better, I will have gone to the person, but there's no one greater than you. This condition, I'm persuaded on the authority of your word, not on my feelings, that you don't want it to be there. Is there anything too hard for you? None. So if it's there, it's not because you cannot. If it's there, it's not because you will not. It's there because something is holding it back. So in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I declare that this condition dematerializes, ceases to be, leaves my body, or leaves this person's body. What am I doing? I'm applying the truth of God's word, which is God's integrity. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what the situation is. This person, medically speaking, he says it's impossible to give birth. But I said, you have a track record. You meet Sarah to conceive at 90. That's a tall order. This person is not up to 90. This person is just 50. I don't know how, do you understand what I'm trying to say? My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. You are having an interaction. This is nothing for you. Now, people that don't have womb, you have given them children. You came, you superimposed on the natural with your super. Your super came upon the natural, became supernatural. And they didn't have womb, and you gave them womb. You gave them children. So this is small. This person even has womb. There's no medical condition. Your power cannot do this. Now, what am I doing? I'm on God's side now. I'm persuaded God is on my side. Hallelujah. And it is not his will that the condition tarries. You are interacting with something that is alive. The word of God is quick and what? Powerful. That's what you're doing. That's what you're doing. You're processing. You're processing. Because you need to be persuaded. If healing is there to manifest, deliverance has not come, God is not responsible. All right, put your hand there. Look at James. Hallelujah. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraid not, and it shall be given him. Now, when you read that phrase, it shall be given him. Let me read it again. You read something slowly. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. The God is going to ask from us these qualities. The one who gives to all men. And when he's giving to men, he gives liberally. Number three, it does not find fault, and it shall be given him. Now look at verse 6. But let him ask in faith. So what does it mean to ask in faith? Do not leave the context. To ask in faith in that context is those three things that were stated. When you're asking, understand before you asked, it's because God is willing to give. In his willingness, he gives to all. When he gives, he doesn't give in a small measure or reluctantly but lavishly. And then he does not find fault or look for any reason why you should not what? Receive. Have you ever thought about it? If you believe in your heart, the Lord Jesus Christ, and confess with your mouth that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Saved. And yet that power goes into operation in man's life. And Jesus had never said, in your lifetime, you killed 1,682 people. You caused them to go to hell. You sacrifice babies at the altar. This power is not for you. You are beyond my saving grace. Don't put my word in your mouth. Shut up. Don't say it. The only way Jesus can stop the person is if the person does not believe and say. If you believe and say, it's a universal law. Power goes into operation to recreate your spirit instantly. The life of God becomes yours, even though you were once a killer and a murderer. That's how impartial the power of God is. Now, that nature of God is the reason why you should expect healing at every time. Because it does not find fault. It's the same thing as is no respecter of persons. Now, to respect persons will not just mean nature, nation, and tribe. It also means your personality does not invalidate his own character. It does not. It doesn't invalidate his own character. Your personality does not. Ah, Lord God, is there anything too hard? Let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering. When you ask, do you need to speak? Yes. Where does wavering also occur? In your speech. So there's a flow of power. It shall be given him. So what does a sound believer do? I position myself in the last part of verse 5. It shall be given. Have I asked? Yes. What is God's response? It shall be given. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Nothing wavering means do not say anything contrary to what you ask for. Because it shall be given. How do you hinder the power of God from flowing? If you say something contrary to what is given, it shall be given is absolute. The word shall is the strongest affirmation in the English language. It shall be given, not it might be given. No. It shall. So as far as God is concerned, power has gone. In fact, remember, you are asking because God is willing. You are asking because he has given. So receiving is your responsibility. It's my responsibility. Hallelujah. Their responsibility. Their life unto those that find them, and hell to all their flesh. So it's a universal law. This is the incorruptible seed of God's word. And that's given back to what the word incorruptible means, unfailing. That which is incapable of failure. And that's why when men have experiences that are contrary, remember somebody has experiences that have lined up. And if God is no respecter of persons, why does say, God, why have you not healed me? Ask yourself a question. Why was this person healed and I wasn't healed? Because God can never be the variable. No. It can't be the variable. He's consistent. He's faithful. Look at Romans chapter 10 again. Solomon said, my son, attend to my word. So let's attend to God's word, like Solomon said. Romans chapter 10, let's read from verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaks in this manner. That's the word on this wise. In this manner. Say not in your heart. So believing in the heart is a saying on the inside. So I have an external voice. I have an internal voice, isn't it? I say things on the... How many of you say things on the inside of you? Okay, so there's an internal conversation. There's an external conversation. So what is on the inside is really called meditation. What's on the other is really called speaking. So notice, but the righteous which of faith speaks on this wise, say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. Verse 8. But what does he say? The word is nigh. Say, the power of God is near me. It's not far from me. The power of God is actually me. My constitution holds the power of God. My body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the power of God. The same way he heals, the same way he does today. He's a healer. He will always be a healer. And he will always heal. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah. So what said it? The one is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. So he's saying the distance between you and the power of God is as far as what is in your mouth, which is how it gets into your heart. That's what he's saying. Don't use this for salvation alone. It's a general principle for the operations of God. What is the power that saves? The power of God unto salvation. What's the power that heals? The same power. Remember, Jesus healed that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken. So as he was healing, there was something greater he would do. He would save men. So to heal is lesser. Because to save, that's a greater work, isn't it? So to do the lesser, now that you have the greater, should not be easier. Yeah, because a lot of times, healing for many people is in the realm of the senses. I can feel like I'm healed. I may not feel like I'm healed. I'm receiving God's healing power in my body. And yes, I still have pain because sometimes I begin to amend. Amend means it's gradual. So weeks back, I was trying to share, and Brother Joshua was meeting that meeting. And it was more of a Holy Ghost meeting. So some people were activating, and it was impartation. And some of the saints there began to operate in gifts of healings that they could feel tangibly in their arms and in their palms. So I called out people who had certain pains and conditions in their body. When they came out, I wanted these other saints to minister to them so that they could see. So that when you leave, because when you leave, they believe that the preacher came with the grace and has gone with the grace. So I wanted them to be able to function before I go so that they will see that the grace was functional. I hope you understand. So they were ministering successfully until the particular lady was in the corner. And they ministered to her. And those ones I ministered to, we told them, if you are healed, you can go. They went back. But this lady didn't go back. So I knew my heart that she wanted me to be the one that ministered to her. This other lady had ministered to her. She wanted me to be the one that ministered to her. Now, her healing occurred in degrees. Not because God healed her in degrees. She received in degrees. I hope you know there's a difference. So after the lady ministered to her, she said that, yeah, but her back, the pain is still. Because I said, don't help God. You know what means to help God? You don't want the preacher to be ashamed. Are you? Yes, but you are going back with pain. Not that you are going back by faith, though. You don't want the preacher to be ashamed. But I said, don't help God. Don't pardon me. I don't need to pardon. I'm not the one that died for sins. So I have no reputation to lose. I'm teaching what works because this is the power of God. And it is here. Some people, as they step forward at a particular place where I was standing, the healing took place before anybody touched them. I said, there's a force field of God's power here already. Somebody says, why? It came to pass on a Saturday as it was teaching. The power of God was present to what? Heal them. It's his power because his word has been preached. So the person was healed immediately. No hands were laid upon these words. But this other person, they touched her. They did everything. She was still waiting. So I need the condition. So I went to her. I met her the first time. They were touching her. I met her God's power to her the first time. I said, how do you feel? On a scale of 1 to 10, how is it now? He said, it's 6 now. I'm starting to a second time. He said, it's now about 4. So I went around ministering to people. I had an instruction on the inside. I turned back. I said, sit down. Don't stand up. Just sit down. Because the pain was sharp in her back. I said, sit down. Don't stand up. I was ministering. So while I was ministering, of course, you have to also be sensitive in the spirit. As I'm listening, I just thought to her, stand up now. She got up. Before I would ask, how is the pain now? Before I could ask, the look on her face showed it. Her mouth was open. The pain was gone now. I'm saying that to say this. She received the same power that administered initially in measures. In measures. She was receiving in measures, not at once. In measures. If you put an ironing appliance, you connect it to the flow of power, electricity. Now, do you notice that you are the one that controls the temperature at which you can iron certain fabrics? And if it's too high, certain fabrics will get burnt. Now, it is the same power that is inside the iron. Who is regulating the intensity of the heat? You. Based on the fabric you are ironing. You can use that as an illustration to explain how the power of God works. Hallelujah. We receive based on our consciousness and our faith. And you can be helped to receive. We can help you receive more of God's power than you have received before. We can help you. All I was doing with instruction was sit down. And then stand up now was to help her to receive. Because the pain was obviously going down as she was attesting. But it was still there. Amen. So it wasn't that she needed more power. She needed to receive what? More. Her consciousness needed to be helped. And that's what I did that day. I just helped her faith. Hallelujah. Now, it is God's power. Why was there so much power in the house? Because the gospel was being preached. What does scripture say? I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto... Now, if power is present that can translate a man from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, that can recreate a man's spirit just by believing in the heart and confessing with the mouth, how much more a power that will, like a laser, pulverize every trace of sickness and disease, including growth and cancer? That's why a man who sees God's power in his body concerning the growth and constantly has images of power God like a laser beam, completely vaporizing every trace of growth. After a while, you wake up one day, you won't find the growth again. Hallelujah. You find the growth again. Remember when Jesus spoke to the fig tree? When they were going away after Jesus spoke, there was no sign on the outside, anything had taken place. But in 24 hours, when they came back, they saw the fig tree had died from where? The roots. That's a parable for the unseen part of the tree is where the power went to work. So when the power of God is ministered towards you, the first thing you need to acknowledge is that, say, power has been ministered towards me. See, the power of God is working in my body. Whether I feel it or not, God's power is working consciously in my being. And that power will effect a healing and a cure. I declare on the authority of the power ministered, and I'm whole. I'm healed. I'm well. God's report says I'm healed, I'm whole, I'm well. Hallelujah. Now, remember, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. How do men waver? With words that shall circuit the flow of the same power that was released initially. What is the condition? It shall be given him. So, nothing has ever gone wrong on the side of the giver. Who is God? He's consistent. He doesn't find fault. In fact, it is in his nature. Look at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45. Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. That you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. So when it says your Father, which is in heaven, or your heavenly Father, they mean the same thing. Your Father, which is in heaven, simply means the one whose nature and character is unlike flesh. Unlike flesh. The earth, flesh. Heaven, God, perfection. That which is unlike man, that which is consistent and not inconsistent, that which does not do an eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, that which remains the same despite the activities of men. So that you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven, he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. That means God does not condone evil or support evil or encourage evil, but God will not change because of evil. He remains good. Hallelujah. He remains a good God. That's who he is. So Matthew 5:45 is supporting James 1, verse 6. Go back to that, James. When you want to interrupt God's power, look at verse 13. Let no man say when he's tempted. You can replace that word with when he's sick and made sick by God. Let no man say. So how do men come to conclusions? By what they say. By what they say. You can turn that scripture around. Let no man say. And then let a man say. You first have to know what not to say, because you have to understand that God cannot be tempted evil, neither does he what? Tempt any man. This is exactly what happened to Job. What did Job say? The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Why did the affliction continue? Because of that statement. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh. So as long as you believe God is giving it, it will stay. Because you have no faith to stand against what God has given you. As long as you think God is the one behind it, it will stay because you cannot use your faith against God. Your faith will be neutralized because you believe God brought it to you. That's in Job chapter 1. So you believe God gave it to you, and because you believe God gave it to you, it's going to stay, not because God wants it to stay, but because you believe that it came from God. So your faith can only stand against that which you believe. That's this. I'm reading Job chapter 1, verse 21. Okay? So the Lord gave, the Lord took. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In verse 22, now, with the little knowledge that he knew, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God what? Was he ignorant? Yes. Did he speak foolishly against God? No. He didn't know as much. So remember, power is flowing. What kind of power? The power that was administered towards Job due to fear. He opened the door by fear. It was a fear he was acting on, he was thinking of. Then the fear eventually now became something he acted upon and something he said. Look at Job chapter 3, verse 25. I'm using as many illustrations as possible before you see that words are vehicles of carrying God's power or taking hold of destructive power. For the thing which I greatly feared. Let me say this. If there's something that you are seriously afraid of, work on it. Don't wait until you are in a situation where you are faced by it. Listen, I've ministered, and I don't know why people don't quickly pay attention to such things. In going to places, I think at least three different times, one I can remember, I ministered to people, ladies. A thought came to their heart. They were single ladies that they are going to find it difficult to conceive. The thought just came while they were being single ladies, and they just took the thought like that. You never answer thoughts with thoughts. You must always reply to thoughts with words. You do not know that the thought is affecting you. A thought keeps telling you that by the time you are in your 50s, you will have a debilitating illness, and you have never answered the thought. You don't know Satan is flowering, seeking whom may destroy, whom resist steadfast in the faith, and your faith is not complete without speaking. Be sober, be vigilant. That means be quick to respond. Don't be passive. Don't say, they will say I'm extreme. No, it's not extreme. No, I refuse to be poor. I refuse to be broke. I refuse to be sick. I'm prosperous in all my doings. I'm never confused. You say, somebody would just say in the graduate, say, all of us face confusion. You may face confusion. You are free to face it. Because it's your faith. He said, be sober, be vigilant. The person who is making you conform to their reality is not sober, they are not vigilant. They don't understand those things are affecting them. You watch a documentary innocently on television that says by the time you are 46, your memory loss. And you began to believe that it's true. It's like I'm 42 now. That means soon. You didn't quickly reply. You thought it was innocent. It wasn't innocent. Your mind does not distinguish the thought it processes except you choose. That's why Proverbs 14 says, guard your heart with all diligence. Diligence means be at attention, be sharp, be sound. That thought that just came, you need to do something about it quickly. Don't treat it lightly or casually. Like it's not one of those things. No. You saw the statistics. Fatality rate. Mortality rate now is now, that is, the age in which people die is now 62. Anyone that telling you, when you are 60, start planning to die. In the country where some people are dying at 105, my mom's hometown, when I went to visit some years ago, I saw obituaries. I thought I was in another country. 105, 108, 98, 100, 101, all over the place. And I saw my uncle in his 90s. He strolls wherever he's going. He eats panadiamo every day. I cannot try that panadiamo. I must not be in Lagos. He strolls wherever he's going. He's still walking strong. He's ramrod erect everywhere. In that particular locality, there is dew upon the hills every morning. Vegetables are always fresh. Bush meeting go. If you eat that in this environment, your life expectancy cannot be much. But what they do, just normal exercise. Food that is not polluted or contaminated by processes. They don't eat all this processed food. The only time my uncle eats processed food when he leaves the country. That's the only time he eats processed food. Otherwise, everything is fresh from the farm. That's what they do. And they breed mountain here. And they walk distances, long distances. They can walk from here to Agege. And they call it a stroll. She's strong. Now, you are seeing that. For you to hold on and say, long life is my heritage. You are looking at statistics by scientists that says that life expectancy is now 62. But I say, no. My life expectancy is from my 90s upwards. In the name of Jesus, I'll live to a rich, ripe old age. I'm full of life. My body is full of sap. Vitality is in my bones. My bones are strong. There's no weakness anywhere in my body. Eternal life abides in me. My constitution is invigorated by the power of God. Every fiber of my being is quickened by the power of God. Hallelujah. I see God's power flow in my body like a river, bringing health to my veins, my nerves, my blood vessels, my tissues, my organs, every system in my body. God's healing power flows like a river, touches every aspect. Even my skin is fresh because eternal life reigns in my body, prevails in my being. Hallelujah. What are you doing? You are allowing God's power to work because you are taking words. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it. So if I'm watching God over my heart, there are two ways. I watch what comes in and I control what goes out. I watch what comes in and I control what goes out. And I use God's word as a tool for doing that. Because God's word is God's will for me. And he wants me to live long and to be healthy and to be sound. I'll live to see my children's children's children. How do you calculate that one? Children. Is that great grandchildren? What's wrong in seeing them? Why don't you pass across legacy to each of them? Your children, legacy. Your grandchildren, legacy. Your great-grandchildren, what? Legacy. They meet you. And when you are saying goodbye, all of them come around your bed. I bless you. You even call them by name. I bless you. Your future is great. God will uphold your hand. Your hand will be prosperous. You will do well in this life. You interact with merchants all over the nations of the earth. To you, nations shall be open. You will crisscross the Nile to other countries, preaching the gospel. You speak the blessing of God over each of them. That's how a righteous man dies. Not that they are putting you out in the sun. Or your liability to each of them. No. Every one of them is looking at you that, so my papa is going. Mama has spent her life praying for me. And I've seen the word of God upon her lips come to pass. Because if God's word has been a legacy of faith in your life, it ought to be the legacy of you be with your children. Your interaction with God's word is important. Your healing testimony is important to your children. That my life has been kept by the power of God. I've been preserved by the power of God. I've come out of difficult situations because the power of God has kept me and has preserved me. It's the greatest legacy you can give to your children's children. Hallelujah. Go back to Romans. Are you getting something tonight? Praise God. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. Look at the principle again. It doesn't change. But what does he say? The word is not even the mouth in the heart, the word of it which we preach, yes. That if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in your heart that God has, the word of God has come to pass. God has, say God has, raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. Now look at next verse. Oh, praise God. For with the heart, this is exactly what Solomon is teaching. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto. So, spirit life becomes my experience and reality with my confession. Let me say it again. Healing is made manifest in my body because of my confession. Because of my confession. Mountains will move. Hills will skip. Policies will be changed. Because a righteous man is standing on the authority of God's word. He's unstoppable. He's called incorruptible word of God that lives and abides forever. He outlives every generation. Outlives every government that men have put in place. It's incorruptible, it's unfailing. Hallelujah. It's incorruptible. So, he says, if you confess your mouth, believe in your heart, that God has believed, that shall be saved. Well, with that man believes on righteousness, with man, confession is made out to salvation. Look at verse 11. Let's read quickly. For the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be what? Embarrassed. That is, you believe to be saved, there will never be a situation where you will not experience salvation. So you believe to be healed. Guess what? You'll be what? Healed. If you know how to. How do you get it? Do you believe in your heart? Yes. But have you said with your mouth that healing is yours? Have you said, I'm healed and I'm whole now? Have you done that? It seems basic, but that's the principle under which the power of God works. Look at verse 12. For there's no difference between the usual and the gift. For the same Lord overrun is rich unto how many? All that call upon him. How do you call? He's talking about the believing and the confessing. That's how you call. Is rich unto all that call upon him. Matthew chapter 8. So in Matthew chapter 8, we see why Jesus was so impressed by the centurion's faith. If you read from verse 5, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lies at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this man, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus had it, he marveled and said to them that follow, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. So the power you will use to heal my servant is also in your words. If I encounter you, I encounter power. If I encounter your words, I encounter the same power. In other words, my servant can be healed by the power and the authority in your words, or your words will transfer the same power that you carry to my child, wherever it is. It's not limited by location. That's what Samson was saying. Why? I'm set as a master over many, 100 men. You are set as a master over sickness and disease. It will be in subordination for disease not to answer to you. It's in subordination for men not to answer to me also. I understand authority. So when you say it, it is done. Hallelujah. It is done. And look at what Jesus said to the man. Verse 13. And Jesus said to the man, go your way, oh praise God. And as thou hast believed, how did Jesus know the man believes? Because of what the man said. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be made whole. Go your way, and as thou hast believed, be it done unto thee. And the servant was healed in the same hour. The man had given a condition. So, in the series of teachings and classes, we looked at the fact that Jairus' daughter in Mark chapter 5, isn't it? How the daughter was healed, and we've seen also how when Jesus was going to Jairus' house, the woman with the issue of blood came along the line. So we saw in that passage of scripture, for instance, that the woman with the issue of blood processed her healing with her words. She believed, then she confessed, and the power flowed into her body. Now, there's something I want you to see. Let's read from verse 25, Mark chapter 5, verse 25. It's a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. Why are the details important for you to see the severity and gravity of the situation? The gravity of the situation is recorded so you know that the woman was really sick. The miraculous healing power of God was recorded to show how quickly God's power can resolve an issue no matter how long it has been. Amen? You need to balance that house. No matter how long it has been, how quickly God's power can resolve it when the power of God touches it. I used to listen to a program back then. They used to say to you, "Abu along ki bati." How many of you know what that means? God's power never fails to tackle the situation. Now, so he says, Mark 5, he says, she had suffered many of many physicians, had spent all she had, and was nothing better, but she grew worse. And when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. The interesting part was that this woman did not confide in anyone. Because many times, confiding in people can discourage your faith and can stifle the power of God in expression. Now, she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched him, his garment. Look at what she said. For she said, if I may touch but disclose, I shall behold. And straight away, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body as she was healed of that plague. Let me stop. Two things I want you to notice. I don't think there's any other part of scripture where the Bible speaks about somebody feeling the power of God was recorded, except here. No other portion of scripture. And Jesus felt in himself that virtue had left him. The woman felt in her body, immediately she was made whole. So she felt it. That she was healed of the plague. It was not recorded anywhere else. But here's what I want you to realize. She did not register her healing based on the fact that she felt in her body. She registered her healing on the integrity of the word. What's the word? If I may touch, I shall. Feeling came, but feeling may not come. Let me say that again. Feeling came in this case, but feeling may not come. It does not invalidate the Father power God has worked. Hallelujah. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. Now, notice, if it's recorded once, this instance, it means it's not a normal way for you to tell that you have been healed. Feeling is not a normal way for you to tell you have been healed. What was her currency for reception? It was that if I may touch, so as far as she's concerned, once I make contact, what does that also tell you? She's telling you God does not find fault. God always gives. He gives lavishly means that he will give enough to heal me of whatever challenge I have. Did the power flow? Yes. Did she believe she was it because she felt it? No. She said, if I may touch, I shall be, finally. So the transaction took place by words before there was manifestation. Hallelujah. That's so important. Now, because it's taking place by words. Now, pay attention now. Look at that mark. Oh, glory to God. Go with me to verse 34 first. And he said unto her, daughter, thy what? Faith. Now, in this case, what is faith now? What you said. Daughter, what you said has made you whole. What you said. What did she say? If I'm able to touch. So, daughter, what you said, which is her faith, has made you. So, transaction took place by words. Now, look at verse 35 quickly. While he spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troubles thou the master any further? And soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken. Now, what word was spoken to Jesus that made Jesus follow Jairus? My daughter lied at the point of death. I believe you come and lay your hands upon her. She shall live. That's what he said. Another word was spoken to interrupt the word that was initially spoken. When Jesus heard what was spoken, Jesus did not say, it doesn't matter what they say. I have all power. No. Jesus is not going there because he initiated the healing. Jesus is going because Jairus initiated healing. So the words that were spoken can affect Jairus. Someone says why? Because at that point in time, he loves his daughter so much, if you hear she's dead, you start crying. If you cry, the power that's going to your house will stop. Interrupted. It will stop. That's why Jesus looked for him. Ignore those who spoke, but look for the person that the word will affect. Jesus said, don't be afraid. Where will fear come from? From the words that were spoken. So listen carefully. The same way faith comes by hearing, fear also comes by hearing. Fear also comes by hearing. You know, it's interesting. Job said, that which I greatly feared has come upon me. He must have heard. Thoughts must have come to his heart. Words must have spoken in Job's hearing. Because for somebody to wake up every day, listen carefully, and be saying, the young men have gone eating and drinking. I don't know if they curse God in their hearts. Let me just offer sacrifice to safeguard them. So I've been sacrificed in advance or whatever, and it is out of fear. This did Job daily. Out of fear. What he greatly feared means thoughts came. Words were spoken. And those words now became activity in Job's life because he acted on what he was feeling. What was he meant to do? You are meant to answer the thought back. Never answer a thought with a thought. Always answer thoughts with words. I'm going to live longer in sound health. In sound health. The days ahead are better than the days that are past. With every passing day, I'm getting stronger. As my day, so is my strength. I'm bringing forth food even in old age. My youth is renewed like the eagles. Every waking moment, my strength is getting restored. I'm more energized than before. I'm stronger now than when I was 30. Now, why are you saying that? Because that's how the life of God works. That's how it works. That's how it works. So when the thoughts are again, you can be passive without recognizing that you are in a spiritual battle. So the thought just comes. My illustration I gave earlier, those ladies, I had to minister to them by the power of God. Because they came out. A thought has come to you that you're not going to have children. This is somebody who is not married. And just thought, and just him. And then the person said that by now, fear has already come. You are thinking, what will happen? It will happen like that. You start having issues with conception when you get married. So I ministered to them to set them free. But I reminded them, keep God's word in your mouth. Why? Because if the day the thought first came, they had answered back, he wouldn't have stayed. You can't stop a bird from flying across your head. Surely you can stop it from building a nest. Amen. Hallelujah. The thoughts can come casually. Look at where you're coming from, your background. You're not likely to marry well. Why? God gives good gifts. Why won't I marry well? Why would I deserve to marry well? I have to stand my ground against such thoughts. Again, I must react immediately. I'm sober and vigilant. The adversary goes about like a roaring lion in thoughts, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. So my resistance, steadfast, is in the words that proceed from my mouth against the thoughts that are trying to come. Hallelujah. So Jesus said, be not afraid, only believe. That is, don't say anything contrary. Don't act on that word. Fear will come, don't do fear. That's what Jesus said. Mark chapter 9. We're going to wind up shortly. Mark chapter 9. Are you there? Mark 9 and verse 14. Glory to God. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and scribes questioning with them. And in this case, there was a crowd. And straightway, all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, curiosity, and running to him, saluted him. Now, and he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? Then one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I brought unto thee my son, which has a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foams and gnashes with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to the disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. Now look at the next verse. And he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? That is, how long will I bear with you? Bring him unto me. Verse 20, and they brought him unto him, and when they saw him straightway, the spirit tore him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked Father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes he cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us. And that's the first challenge. You put the responsibility of doing something on Jesus instead of putting the responsibility of believing on yourself. Look at what Jesus said in response. If you can believe. All things are possible to him that believe it. You can say, if you can receive. All things are available for reception. All things. God makes everything. God is not available, not if you can. God is willing to do something about the issue. If I has done something about the issue now, see, you guys say, are you ready to receive the question? No, but whether I'm ready to give, are you ready to receive? That's the question. So you don't put responsibility on the minister. Minister, it's because he has no power. No, are you ready to receive? God anoints men for men. You must believe God has anointed a man. You must believe power is present. You must believe power will walk towards you. That's how to receive. Now look at the next verse. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, now you are ready. You position yourself. Help thou my unbelief. Now look at the next verse. And Jesus saw that the people came running together. He rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him so and came out of him, and he was as one dead, in so much that many said, what did they say? He is dead. Now that's the crowd though. They are not the ones ministering. They are the ones making commentary. If you listen to them, you are finished as a minister. You are finished. You are ministering to somebody. If you were alive in those days when we was all used to minister, if you don't have strong heart, don't go to his meetings. Because we go saw with someone that has cancer in his stomach and punch them in his stomach. You know what it means to have cancer of the stomach? No, you should not know what it means. But and then someone is in pain. You now punch the person where the cancer is. And someone just like, well, he's a very wicked man, very harsh, not even gentle. And when they ask him, he says, no, I'm gentle on the person, but I'm brutal with the devil. In fact, he punched one woman that had cancer, a man, in the tummy. On the stretcher, I couldn't walk. I'm punched. And Wigglesworth is a very bold man. Punched the person. The person didn't look back. And work one going. The doctor that followed him said, he's dead. You have killed him. Wigglesworth did not turn back to even listen to the accusation. Mr. the first person, next one. When he got to the third person, the person that said was dead, shouted from the stretcher, I'm healed. Now, that is a man who is free from appearances, the senses. Ah, it's true. You look at the person, it's like he's not breathing. They will not arrest me. My God, my God, my God. You are looking at him. Doctor said, this is even medical doctor now, you know? Everybody's opinion. He's dead, you have killed him. He acted like he didn't even hear. Went to the next person, when he got to the third person, he just heard a shout. From the person that was there, said, he's dead. He said, I'm healed, I'm whole. Now, what happened in Mark chapter 9? The disciples of Jesus came. They said, he's dead. Look at what Jesus did, verse 27. Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. When he was coming to the disciples, asked him privately, why could we not cast him out? They now had a question. We also, we try, we did what he said we should do. But the thing did not go. Now, before you read this one, let's read Matthew's version. We won't read everything, but let's just read Matthew's version. We'll jump straight to that portion. Matthew 17. Are you with me tonight? Verse 19. Matthew. Then came disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? Yes. He said unto them, because of your unbelief. What did Jesus do to that particular spirit? Jesus spoke first. He spoke a word. There was a spirit. The boy took on the nature and character of that spirit. It was a deaf and dumb spirit. It was also an unclean spirit. It was also a lying spirit. Because it was a deceptive spirit After the command of it was given, look at what he did. Manifestation started. Tore the boy, shook him, lay on the ground as though he's dead. That was what the disciples saw that made their feet shake. They ministered power. They took it back when they saw what was happening. It's like it's not going on. When they said those things, the pastor stopped walking. What did Jesus do? Jesus did not listen to the crowd. Jesus spoke. When the boy appeared as though he was dead, Jesus went to the boy and just ignored everything they were saying, lifted up the boy, and that was the end of it. So the deception did not fool Jesus. I gave a word of command. I heard of Vigus what? He went to a particular house. A young lady was possessed. Now, when people are fully possessed, they have supernatural power. This lady that is small in stature, she throws 7 FT men like a throwing chair. You know it can be natural because her frame is small. It's like our star piece here. Throwing 7 men. How? Just think, how? Even in film, you will try. Because to throw one man of average size, 7 FT men, and I try to hold you down, and you just like, just bam, bam, just throw them off. You can imagine how that will look. And they called Rigoso to come, and he came to the room. He said the first way he knew that the demon in that woman was afraid was what the demon said when he came in. So you can't cast me out. Who asked the question? You're afraid. See, you can't cast me out. He said, yes, I know. But Christ in me can come out of her now and enter no more. There was no change. She was looking wild. And we just what? Stepped downstairs, took his coat, and was about to go. The woman ran down from the staircase. I said, you can't cast me out. He ignored, put on his coat, was walking towards the door. The woman shouted again. He looked back. I told you to come out, and continued. And demon left immediately. Now, that is the point at which you will know whether you release power or not. And I say, take my coat. There's more fights to be done. I will not leave here until you have called the power back. The power was already working. You know, it's a lying spirit. It wants to see whether you lie. That's why I don't understand all these things. You say you are doing deliverance, and they are bringing camera. It's not deliverance you are doing. It's drama. If you are doing deliverance, you will not allow camera. You're having discussion. What's your name? Why you come here? Why are you this woman's body? Do you know where I am? Foolishness pro max. This is Jesus introducing himself. It was the demon that said, I know who thou art. Not Jesus that said, do you know where I am? Knew my ranking. No. That's foolishness. No. He spoke. He said, I told you to come out. And he continued walking away. And the demon left the same hour. He cast out the spirit with his word and healed all that were sick. He's still doing the same today. The same yesterday, today, and forever. So if there be any spirit in affliction upon anyone, present or online, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that same authority, that same name, we command the spirits to leave you. We command the affliction to go, the pain to leave your body. As you hear me right now, the pain in your heart is gone. In the name of Jesus. The pain in your knees are gone. In the name of Jesus. The persistent ache in your joints, they are gone. In the name of Jesus. Breathing and respiratory problems, they are healed. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Constant tummy problem, it's gone. In the name of Jesus. Whatever is not okay with your hormonal system, it's put back in the name of Jesus. Your system normalizes. Your system becomes regulated. Health and vitality flows through you. You are made whole. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Hallelujah. We stop here tonight. God is faithful. God is good. God is kind. Hallelujah. I remind myself every day, God's healing power is working in my body. God's healing power is working in my body. There's life in my body. There's health in my body. There's wholeness in my being. It doesn't matter the way I feel. It matters that the word of God is working. The word of God is true. The word of God is sure. The word of God is just, and it raises my body. It governs my intellect. It governs my thinking. It dominates my body. In the name of Jesus, I am who the word says I am. I have what the word says I have. I have wholeness. I have soundness. I have health. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, thank you for tonight. We give you praise. We give you glory. Thank you for the entrance of your word. Thank you for the light and the sun that we have. Thank you for clarity. Thank you for boldness. Thank you. As we give tonight, your name is praised. In the name of the Lord Jesus.